So, good morning. We have Lelethu on the line. Good morning, Lelethu.
Good morning.
Hi. So, welcome to Radio Veritas. Lelethu, I know that you're also a mom with a special needs child. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and your child?
Okay. Good morning to you and good morning to all the listeners. My name is Lelethu. I'm a mother of a six-year-old boy. His name is Sia. He's also was born with spina bifida myelomeningocele. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift from God. He survived about close to 20 brain surgeries.
Wow.
Was once able to walk, and now he does not walk. He uses the rollator, the walker, and the wheelchair. He goes to a normal, lovely, caring creche that is accommodating him and his special needs, but also it's full of kids that are able and that have no issues regarding their physique and their disabilities. So he's just a wonder. I feel so blessed. I will take the whole day to tell you about him. But all I say is we regard him as our warrior, and he's taught us so much about our faith in God and the ability of God to make all things bright and beautiful in his own time.
Wow, it sounds like he's a real gift in your heart, Lelethu.
Yes.
Lelethu, we're talking this morning about education, and so you say that he's placed in a creche and he's doing well in the creche, but I know the grade run looms on the horizon. Does your creche feed into a school, or are you looking at how to place him, and how is that being for you?
Okay, the schooling issue with him, it's been one roller coaster ride. Because the doctors have actually encouraged us as parents to have him placed in a normal mainstream school.
Right.
Because intellectually and otherwise, he's doing fine. His IQ level is above the board. He's actually fit to go into a mainstream school. But it's his physical challenges that will actually make a mainstream school not comfortable to accommodate him.
Okay.
And then they would rather have him placed in a special school.
Right.
So we've been going through that process of having him accommodated in a mainstream school whilst he's viewed as moderately disabled by the doctors, but the mainstream school is actually not accommodate his needs. So we were very lucky to approach a creche, a preschool that is closer to us, and the principal and the school governing body had no issues whatsoever to accommodate him. I was sharing with my friends the other day that even when they admitted him to the creche, they even put up wheelchair ramps between classes and to go to the playground.
Wow.
For his wheelchair to actually go so freely between classes and for him to be able to play nicely with other kids. And that to us is a bonus, because it's daunting to wait for the process to have your child admitted in the specialized school. You wait for about 2 to 4 years.
Wow.
The child is placed to a waiting period. And he's losing academic years. He's getting behind to his peers. And sometimes the special schools that our kids get sent to are not actually accommodating their intellectual abilities. They get mixed with other kids who have really severe intellectual, mental, and other disabilities that you can think of, which will actually drag your child's progress and make them not to progress as they should and enjoy the quality of life as they deserve to.
So
it's a daunting process for a parent.
Right. So you're really saying here that what you want, what the doctors are recommending and what you as a family want, is for him to be placed in a primary school, in grade one, in just any government school that's open to working to help you overcome the physical barriers that are problematic, like wheelchair ramps, so that he can integrate fully into society.
Yeah, because his creche is actually feeding a local primary school that is close by where his older brother is attending to.
Okay.
And we still have to go and approach, because we had to ask the creche to enable him to repeat grade R this year. Because we feel because he was most sickly, he started grade R last year, beginning of the year. So I mean the middle of the year. So this year we asked them to actually help him repeat the class so that we prepare him for next year. He'll be 7 when he gets to be admitted at grade 1. But we're still in negotiations with the primary school to actually have them feel comfortable to accept him, and the preschool is actually giving them reports and everything. Because we don't see him as being disabled. We just like to view him as being enabled differently.
Yeah.
Because that's how every parent and every adult out there in South Africa should view the children who are living with disabilities. They're not actually disabled, but they are just enabled just like other every kid out there, but they are enabled in a different way by God. So that disability mentality is actually killing them and demolishing their self-esteem for them not to view themselves like other kids out there. But once you let your children know and understand that, look, you are enabled, but you are enabled in a different way by God, then that actually boosts their self-esteem and it makes them feel quite confident to face the world out there.
Wow. Well, Laletta, you sound like an amazing mom, and I wish all moms were like you, seeing such giftedness in your child and being so willing to fight for your child's needs as well. And I assure you of our prayers on this end that the school will make the accommodations that they need to make in order for your child to enter grade one next year successfully. So thank you very much for this call-in. It's been very, very helpful and very enlightening. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you so much for having me. Bless you.
Thank you. So that was Laletta Williams, who's phoning us from the Cape. We're going to move to an ad break briefly, and then we'll come back and have some more people on the show. Yeah.
Kona kuningi ukudla bayingcosana abantu ngokusho njalo umlalelo wami ngindlulisa nasi simemo phela ahlangane njalo ngwelesine kusukela ngehora leshumi nomuva kuyoze kulamule ihora leshumi nambili lapho khona sikhuluma about this Lion of Judah. Lapho khona sifakaza ngonkulunkulu wabo Shadrach, Meshach nabo Abednego. Ngithi hlangana nami njalo ngolwesine kusukela ngehora leshumi nomuva kobukhona Radio Veritas 576 afuna ukuphuthela.
Matins on Sunday, a program of music and words of inspiration every Sunday morning between 6 and 9 o'clock. With me, Colin York. The program will include the much-loved and ever-popular O Come, Let Us Sing, half an hour of sacred choral music. Matins on Sunday, only on Radio Veritas, where we bring you the good news and the good music for a change.
Good morning, Melinda. We have you on the line.
Hi, Frances.
Welcome to Radio Veritas.
Thank you.
So, Melinda, I know that you also have a special needs child. Do you want to tell us just a little bit about yourself and your child, and then we're going to talk a bit about schooling?
Yes, that would be great. Firstly, hi, Margot and Valetta. We all know each other as well. We are on a mom's group that supports children that have spina bifida. So. You all know each other.
Great.
Okay, great. My daughter is Abby. She's now 7 years old. She started grade one this year, diagnosed at 20 weeks pregnancy with spina bifida.
Right.
She attends New Hope School in Pretoria. It's one of the largest special needs schools in the country.
Okay.
And the reason that Abby attends New Hope, she doesn't really have the physical disability that she has is with her bladder. So Abby can walk, and she has to catheterize every 3.5 to 4 hours.
Wow.
So she needs assistance with catheterization.
Okay.
And, yes, when we were looking at creches, it was very difficult to actually find a creche that would have someone be able to help her. And that's when we came across New Hope School, and it's the process, as the lady said, there's quite a waiting list, but we're bagging all our forms and had to go through a process of assessment, and Abby has been with New Hope School since 2015, and we are very happy with the school. They teach her needs, and she's now started grade one. They will inform us when they feel she needs to into a mainstream school.
Okay.
And then that will be another bridge we'll have to cross. It's already in the back of my mind. What is going to happen? How are we going to do this catheterization? Abby's actually is teaching her now to do her own catheterization. But it's a long process, especially if the child's doing it themselves. So that we'll have to find a school that will be accommodating to give her extra time to go to the loo. You know, she can't just, if she needs to go, she'll have to go, you know. So that's all the things in the back of a person's mind, the worry, how will she cope eventually when she does go to a mainstream school.
Right. Well, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And just having lived through potty training my own children who didn't need catheterization, and having once had to deal with a family member being catheterized, I can only imagine that teaching a child how to catheterize themselves must be an extremely challenging process. And also it makes sense that they've got to be old enough to understand what it is that they're doing first. So that I mean, you, just as you talk about this, one sees some of the things that you may be dealing with obviously happen in the private sphere, like catheterization, but really take the child being old enough to understand what it is that they're doing and why it's important and why they're different.
Yes, no, definitely. I mean, she knows everything about her kidneys and her bladder. The urologist actually laughs at times when she comes up with questions about her kidneys and stuff while he's doing sonos. So, and they are very bright children. Like Laletty says here, and Abby's also very bright. She has a very good understanding of spina bifida as well. For her age, it's quite amazing.
Wow. So that's a real gift that you've helped her to grow an awareness of who she is and what shapes the person that she is. And
yes, most definitely.
And again, like Laletty, you're saying, although she is currently in a special needs school, there will come a time when she needs to integrate into mainstream schooling and also kind of learn to deal with mainstream world in a way, which is what we do at school. And just the challenges of that and needing to think about that. And I'm really grateful to you for calling in, because I think one of the things that's really important is raising the awareness of every parent, of every person, to the fact that there are children with special needs, and that we all need to be helping our children to be aware of that and sensitive to different needs and to diversity in our midst.
Most definitely. And can I just add two more things? I just like to say, most definitely, as Laletty says, without God's grace, nothing would be possible, you know. And that has been a very present need in our lives is hope and faith. And then also, besides the school's accessibility, I'd just like to add that parents with children with wheelchairs, walkers, catheterization, we really battle at normal facilities in malls, the toilets and that type of thing. So now, there's baby changing areas, but they aren't for older kids. They aren't changing areas for older kids. So that's one thing to think of as well.
Okay, so that's like a plea to the general public. Thank you for that. I mean, it's not just schools, but it's every public area that needs to think through the consequences of the fact that the reality is there are disabled people or the people with special needs in our midst, and we need to think about how we create spaces that work for them, like shopping malls. Thank you so much for that, Melinda. It's a very insightful and challenging comment, and hopefully someone's listening to this who knows an architect.
Oh, that would be great.
And are influenced by our conversation. Thank you very much for chatting to us this morning, and good luck.
Okay, and thanks for having me on the program.
Okay.
Thank you.
God bless.